In the days of Oliver Cromwell, a young man had been condemned to death for a relatively minor crime, and the execution had been fixed for a certain day at the ringing of curfew at sunset. His fiancée pleaded with the judges that his life might be spared, but her pleas were unavailing and remission of the sentence was refused. In desperation, she visited the old sexton and tried to bribe him not to ring the curfew bell, which would doom her lover to death. But nothing would turn the sexton from the path of duty. On the appointed day, she determined to make a final effort to save the one she loved, and climbing to the church belfry, she hid there until sunset. Just before sunset, the sexton entered the church to ring the bell. She clung to the tongue of the bell and waited for the critical moment. Presently, the old man began to pull the bell rope. The bell swung to and fro in the narrow space, and the clinging girl was hurled from side to side, suffering battering and bruising with every blow. Being completely deaf, the sexton was ignorant of the fact that no sound was issuing from the belfry, and he continued to pull the rope until his task was ended. As soon as his footsteps died away, the girl, in an agony of pain, slipped down the stairs and hurried to the scene of the execution. Cromwell himself stood there, waiting impatiently for the sound of the bell. She gave one look at her fiancé and threw herself at Cromwell's feet and confessed what she had done. He listened to her story and looked at her torn and dusty clothing, her bruised and bleeding hands and arms and her battered head. Moved with emotion, as he gazed on the proofs of her love for the convicted prisoner, he said, "Go, your lover lives. Curfew shall not ring tonight." So touched was the stern protector by the brave girl's action that the sentence was canceled and the prisoner was freed. When the young man was set free, he threw his arms around his weeping fiancée and smothered her bleeding hands with his kisses. He had been saved from death at the expense of her suffering. How apt were the words of the prophet when he said of the Lord Jesus Christ, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Friend, we too were condemned to death, and remission of the sentence was impossible. But in marvelous love for the sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save those who were condemned. At the price of his own life, he made salvation possible, that sinners may now go free. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life when we were at enmity with him. The sufferings and agony of Calvary, the submission to the ignominy and shame of the cross, are all evidence of his love for guilty men and women, enemies of Christ. Truly he was the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, I thank God the Lord Jesus Christ died for his enemies. He died for sinners. He died for rebels. He died for the likes of us. Blessed God, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that today, listening friend? Can you say, "Yes, thank God, he loved me and gave himself for me, and today I'll trust him. I'll accept him. I'll ask him to forgive me of all my sins as I put my faith and trust in him, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Today, friend, the decision is yours. What will you do with the Savior?